Good afternoon and welcome to Unapologetic Live. Hope you all are having a fantastic day. Today we're going to be talking about the protests that are just going out all across the country of Iran in the name of Mahsa Amini, a 22-year-old girl who died because she was mistreated by police officers for improperly wearing a hijab. We'll be talking about that, comparing the feminist movement happening in Iran right now to what's happening in the United States, all that and more on today's show. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Wednesday. Today we're going to be talking about a subject matter that is pretty intense, actually. And I've been seeing sort of circulating on the internet. People have been talking about it. I've gotten so many people on our show that have been commenting and saying, talk about what's happening in Iran. Talk about what's happening in Iran. And today we are doing exactly that. The situation has continued to develop as a string of protests in different cities all across Iran, mainly led by women, which is something you rarely see in a region like Iran, considering that is like peak patriarchy over there. So these protests are ringing out, and let's get into why this is happening. I want to show you the face of a young woman. Her name is Mahsa Amini. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. 22 years old, and she has died after being arrested by morality police in Iran. She was arrested for improperly wearing her hijab. Apparently, some of her hair was showing. She didn't have it on properly. Was arrested by the morality police in Iran. Now, some sources say she was beaten by police and subsequently died. Iranians and the police force have come out and say, no, she had a heart attack under our watch, fell into a coma, and then died. There are definitely a lot of different reports as to what happened, but the people who are now in the streets protesting are saying the police officers killed her. She died in police custody, she was meant to be under their care, and they beat her and murdered her. Again, all of this is allegedly, as the Iranian government has not really come out and said, you know, this is exactly what happened. So this 22-year-old woman died, and it sparked a string of protests all across the country of young women who are, I mean, accurately afraid for their lives. Something like miswearing a hijab can get you killed in Iran. And I think this is going to send shockwaves really all across the world as this continues to happen. We are in multiple days of protesting right now in Iran, and several protesters have died. But what we're seeing right now is just the stark contrast of the fight for women in America, if we can even call it that, and what's happening in the Middle East and in countries like Iran. You now have young women all across the country in protest cutting their hair. Here is a now famous picture of a young woman doing exactly that in the name of Mahsa Amini. And you have women all across the country doing exactly that. They're taking their hijabs off. They're cutting their hair. They are burning their hijabs in the street. They are coming out against police officers and calling for the disbandment of the morality police, which is such an interesting name for a police force that is willing to allegedly beat a woman to death for improperly wearing a hijab. The morality police. So, of course, this is bringing to light important issues. You know, as women here in the United States, for all of the women in the U.S. right now watching, or really in any other country outside of the Middle East, get to experience a distinct amount of freedom that other women don't get. And we're going to get into some of the complaints from women in the United States and comparing them to what's happening in Iran right now, because I think it's a subject matter that is worthy of conversation, considering what we complain about as women in the United States. Not all of us, but some of us. So like I said, you have women now cutting their hair, which is a very bold move for the culture. They are burning their hijabs in the streets. I do want to show you a video of women congregating to do exactly that. It's got 7.1 million views on Twitter right now. Very, very powerful. Here it is. This young girl dancing before throwing her hijab straight into a fire. And a line of women following and doing exactly the same. Now, it's so interesting to watch something like this because I could just not possibly imagine having to deal with something like this. I could not imagine being worried every single day before leaving my house or the, you know, wherever I live, being worried that if I'm not dressed properly, if I'm not covered properly, I could be arrested or beaten or even worse, killed, like this young 22-year-old girl. That has never crossed my mind living in the United States, believe it or not. And it has never crossed most of our minds. So it's even hard to even talk about these situations and think about being a young woman who would have to deal with such a thing. And to have now so many young women and men joining them in Iran, getting up and protesting against this, so powerful, and I imagine it's so scary to live in and under a regime that is so focused on how you look, your subjugation, making sure you are perfectly proper and perfectly submissive to your male counterparts and to the government at large, and standing up against that live in the street publicly. Cannot imagine what that's like. And of course, the government is not happy about this. I mentioned that several protesters have died. We haven't gotten a definitive number on this because the Iranian government has not come out and given a definitive number of how many people have died. Some human rights organizations say 5, some say 7, some say 3. So we don't have definitive numbers on that yet, but they are cracking down hard on the women. I shared a video, which is on our YouTube channel, and you can go into our shorts feed and check it out, of women congregating to, of course, protest the morality police in Iran, and an unmarked police officer coming and beating them with a baton in the street, and a woman who's brave enough to stand in front of another and guard her while being beaten by a baton. This is the reality. This is what they're dealing with. And now, because a lot of this information is spreading across the internet, the government is now blacking out the internet in certain areas and in certain cities to quell the unrest and to stop people from sharing information that angers them, that emboldens them to take to the street and do the same as some of these other young women are doing. I was reading earlier and it said that the protests that they're experiencing now are protests they haven't seen in 3 years' time, as far as how large they're getting, how unruly in some areas they're getting. And to that I say, good for them. You know, this is what brave women and men do. This is what feminism looks like. And to juxtapose it with the conversations we're having in America, because you know we talk about feminism on this show a lot, especially this sort of modern day American feminism that is so focused on sexual promiscuity and toxic masculinity and not shaving and not meeting conventional Western beauty standards. Think about those struggles and then think about getting beaten under police custody for not being dressed properly. And then get back to me on American feminism and the true fight for women. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, the patriarchy is still the same. It just exists on a spectrum. You know, Iran might be a more concentrated form of patriarchy, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist here in the United States. And I think there can be something valid to those statements. But if you are looking at being a woman in the United States, think about how much choice you have. You wake up every single day. You get to wear what you want. You get to be who you want to be. You get to say whatever it is you want to say. You get to work however it is you want to work. You are on your, basically a choose your own adventure video game every single day living here in the United States. And the arguments that are made in favor of there being some sort of patriarchal oppressive force on women are just not holding up. And I'm really trying to rack my brain to think of one. You know, today is the, what is it, Black Women's Equal Pay Day or something like that?
It is, yeah, trending on Twitter today.
Yeah, so trending on Twitter today at the same time as these protests are happening in Iran is Black Women Equal Pay Day, which is stating, you know, that Black women have a larger wage gap than any other demographic when it comes to women in the United States of America. And if you look at just raw data numbers on the wage gap, sure, that's true. But if you start to factor in things like education, two-parent households, the jobs chosen by women, how often women work, overtime that women work, having families, all of these things when factored in, guess what happens to that wage gap? It shrinks almost immediately and almost to a point where you can't see it anymore. Yet these are the conversations we're having surrounding patriarchy. I'm trying to think of any other valid argument for patriarchy in America. Have you got anything?
Don't look at me if you're looking for arguments in favor of patriarchy. Oh man,
I don't have it.
No, and you're very right in that American women enjoy the freedoms that these Iranian women are fighting for.
Yep.
And just, you know, we're putting out shows like She-Hulk where we're talking about how angry and oppressed we are because men catcall you or something like that. And it's like the eagerness, you know, again, in a culture where we've made victimhood currency and we've persuaded women that they're victims, it's like you can find your meaning in fighting against this imaginary patriarchy instead of finding meaning in the freedom that you have to be whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do, because the reality is you're not being held back in the United States of America for as a woman.
Right. It's like, so we wake up every day, and because our lives are somewhat devoid of meaning, they're so cushy that they're devoid of meaning, we have to come up with something to fight. And we create this sort of patriarchal, oppressive monster in our head, and that's the person that we're fighting here in America. Iranian women wake up, and they are just so utterly oppressed that they don't even have time to decide what's meaningful for them. They are told what is meaningful to them. They are told what they have to do every single day. They are told what they have to wear, how they have to walk, whether or not they're chaperoned, whether they can wear makeup, whether they can drive. These are the lives that they're leading. So they are so oppressed that they don't have the time to discover meaning. We are so just siloed off from oppression that we cannot figure out what our meaning is, and we attribute meaning to something that is false, a completely false narrative. So I'm just watching this and I'm going, I'm hoping this is a wake-up call for people, but I feel like it won't be.
Yeah, I'm reminded of when we had Yanmi Park on the old show When I'm Alive, and she came on and talked about how in North Korea you don't have time to think about your existence or deeper questions of life or whether you're being treated fairly or any of this because you're starving. And so you're looking for bugs to eat or something like that. And that is real. That's what real oppression looks like. That's what really being a victim is where you're starting below zero to where you don't even have time to look around and think about how to find meaning in your life, what to do with your freedom, what to do with yourself, how to find happiness, because you're literally just trying to survive. And when you're looking at this situation, it's just a reminder that, like, they have equality that they need to fight for. Yep. They have barriers in place that are real, that need in Iran, those women need to fight against that, and we can support them in that. But American women, you are living in a land of freedom and equality and opportunity, and to act like you're being held back, it's just you're trying to persuade yourself of something, and there's no reason to. That's only going to hold you're putting that barrier on yourself. No patriarchy's putting it on you.
Yeah, no, Yanmi is a perfect example whenever stories like this come up. We're talking about somebody who defected from North Korea at the ripe age of 13 years old. And she comes to America, right? And she's going to school and university, and she hears all these young women talking and complaining about oppression and patriarchy and all these things you have to face. And she's just looking around at them like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because I know what that feels like. I know where I came from, and I know that I'm here now. And to get here and to hear just such privileged people, you know, we don't like the word privilege all that much, but complain about the place that they're in must be just like dumping salt in an open wound. That's really what that must feel like, to just come here from a place like North Korea or China or Iran or Afghanistan and then listen to like an 18-year-old girl be like, Bobby said because I didn't shave my arms, he doesn't want to date me. What a patriarchal, toxic, masculine monster. My boyfriend watches Andrew Tate, and now I have to break up with him because he's such a patriarchal asshole. It's like, to hear that after living a life like that, you must just want to go insane. So, like, kudos to Yanmi for sticking it out and just having truthful conversations about it just being BS, because, oh my gosh.
Yeah, she's so refreshing to listen to, because she's coming from that culture and then looking at ours and just being like, y'all are crazy if you think that this is oppression and that's what that looks like. And I'm reminded earlier this week there was a trending headline, U.S. adults should get routine anxiety screening, from a panel. This is NBC News. A panel of experts say that. And it's like, you know, that's not to discount and say your anxiety's not real. It's just that, where's that coming from? And like, we're living in this culture where it's just this, we have no actual struggles in life, so we invent them, or we're just in this lay of the land where our culture is just so cushy and easy that we can't even deal with our idleness. And because our brains have been melted by social media and all the messaging we receive, that were victims of this patriarchal culture and all this stuff. And it's like, dude, you're free. And just enjoy that, become something of yourself. And we're not training people to be strong and resilient and to learn to exert themselves over reality and become something, make something of yourself and say, hey, your potential is limitless. I believe in you. It's no, yeah. These are all the reasons why you're held back and why you're a victim. And you should really think about those a lot and complain about them and then structure your whole life to fight this imaginary victimhood.
Yeah. And it's just the structure that we exist in of having these conversations, like our unique ability to even have the conversation is evidence of us not being as oppressed as we think we are. The fact that we have college courses surrounding, you know, oppression based on race or on gender or the government and all these different things just goes to show that maybe we're not in the position that we're teaching people that we're in. Do you think you could have a class like that in North Korea? No, I think if you have, you know, the president's face on your wall and it's a little bit crooked, you're getting arrested by the North Korean government. If you, like this young girl, go out into the world wearing your hijab wrong, you're getting arrested by the government and possibly killed by the government. I mean, we're talking state-sanctioned execution for wearing a piece of cloth wrong on your head. The fact that we can have conversations in America, that you can sit on a podcast and be like, the government did this and I'm black and I'm female and this and that. Girl, that is evidence to the contrary. And I mean, meanwhile, while I made a video about this, and of course, a lot of people commented, well, they're separate struggles. It's just a different struggle here in the United States. I just want to point out just, you know, different comparisons that we can be making. The most recent articles I've seen surrounding feminism in America. Here's one. Ecofeminism explores the relationship between women and nature. Now, this article that you can go through, written by, funnily enough, somebody by the name Leah Thomas, not the biological man who's swimming and beating women in the pool nearly every single day. This is a different Leah Thomas, is talking about, you know, dismantling the ideas we have surrounding the environment and how the subjugation of women goes hand in hand with climate change and us ruining Mother Earth, because Mother Earth is divinely feminine and so are women. And these are the conversations we're having surrounding feminism. The intersectional environmentalists. Other conversations we're having, sexual promiscuity, saying that women should be able to have the same amount of partners as men have, and women should be just as sexually liberated as men are, while in America, OnlyFans is the second top online shopping site in 2022, meaning that you have probably thousands upon thousands of women at this point here in the United States that are making millions and millions of dollars on OnlyFans, selling pictures of their naked bodies. I think that equates to sexual liberation. Is there anywhere else to go on that topic? Any more strides to make?
It is interesting that, you know, young women and young people in general are, you know, going to college or entering young adulthood as stronger, happier, more resilient, more independent thinking, more critically thinking than they do when they come out of university or after plugging their brain into TikTok for a while or reading Teen Vogue or being involved in our culture is, you know, if you think of it as like a pipeline of social engineering and what is the output of that pipeline? The output is worse than what's going into it. If you just go in from like a neutral perspective and you're just take the historically the way our culture used to be, that produces people who are generally more resilient and more free thinking and more ambitious and more forward looking and more happy and optimistic about life. But modern culture and university pipeline, all this, for as much as they say, oh, the alt-right pipeline here at BreakerU is going to corrupt your brain, it's like, no, just plug your brain into mainstream media and you'll believe you're a victim and you'll worry about ecofeminism and just believing this environmental intersectionality and all this stuff. It's literally creating an output. It's supposed to make you a better person and empower you to go out there and be victorious in life. And instead, it's holding you back and being regressive.
Yeah, you know, so we didn't ever announce this, but Vice News did a segment on PragerU talking about, you know, young Gen Z conservatives who are growing up in today's day and age and a new movement that's building around a younger form of conservatism. If you believe that, you believe that. If you don't, you don't. Whatever. But PragerU was a focus of one of those segments, and they started talking and did this little piece where the interviewer goes, well, you know, the more educated somebody is, the more likely they are to be blue, be a leftist, be more progressive in the way that they vote and the way that they express themselves. And they sort of expressed it as if it was sort of an own on conservatives or people on the right or people, you know, the more educated you are, the more likely you are to vote this way. They don't speak, however, to the fact that the education that you're receiving is just in so many ways devoid of reality and in so many ways just a separation from what real life feels like, real conversations, real things that people are worried about, real history. And of course, if that's the education that you're receiving, that's probably where you're going to land on the ideological spectrum. It's not really an own on us. So, you know, a lot of people will say that, you know, the more educated you get, the more likely you are to be progressive, the more likely you are to vote Democrat or be blue or whatever. And to that I say, okay, and your point? Because you're not speaking to the quality of the education. And right now we have a bunch of young men and women who are going into higher education and coming out thinking that they're oppressed and they have this great fight against them and that these ways that are so disconnected from our biology and what is good for human flourishing, those are the ideas that they're subscribed to.
Yeah, and that's the word. It's we shouldn't be asking, oh, it's like, it's not the W that you think it is. Oh, the more educated you get, the more you vote blue. It's like, okay, well, what about, are you, the more what you are, the more happy and flourishing you are. Like, mm-hmm. What are the inputs that are bringing the outcomes of creating happy, fulfilled women and who are flourishing in their God-given uniqueness and their contribution and creativity to the world? What's driving those outcomes? Because that's what we should be focusing on and promoting, not go to school and you vote blue and somehow that proves something good.
Right, right. And so much of like what we're hearing today and just reading today, You'd think having a story like this of this young woman being possibly beaten and killed by the police over there would just be a wake-up call. There's so many times where I read stories or I see what the news is talking about, or I'm just like looking at the world and thinking this is gonna be a wake-up call. This is gonna be a moment for people. This is gonna be a time that people realize that, oh, my situation is not as bad as I think it is, or maybe this is a time to unite. Maybe this is a time to be a little less divisive, and then it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So I'm just like wondering, how much more do you need? And I talk all the time about the idea of ideological subversion and how Yuri Bezmenov, a video that you can all go and check out, and how he says when ideological subversion has happened, it doesn't matter how many facts you give somebody. It doesn't matter how many stories you show them. It doesn't matter the abundance of information they have sitting right in front of them. They will continue to believe the same ideas they've always believed. And I think all of us fall for that in some way, shape, or form. But right now, it feels like it is at its peak. Like, stories like this should be able to just break down and go, oh yeah, you know what? Gratitude is really important. I should be super grateful for where I am right now. But because the idea of like hating America and hating the place that you're in, no matter what the place is that you're in, is so strong, it just overpowers all.
Yeah, we should be fighting to get people to where we are. We should be wanting to say, hey, rest of the world, it sucks that you have this patriarchal norms being imposed on you women. It sucks that you don't have the freedom that we're enjoying here. You need what we have. But instead, we're saying what we have is this terrible, oppressive, patriarchal thing, and we need to dismantle our own thing. And that makes us blind to the suffering. I asked the question in the chat earlier, do you think the mainstream media is giving enough attention to this story? And, you know, I've seen that, to their credit, they've been at least covering it.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of outrage over, like, you know, toxic masculinity compared to something like this, they shouldn't even be on the same level. You know, this is a very clear example of oppression, of sexist oppression. And so if you want If you want to fight that, focus on that and not on tearing America down. It's just a waste of your energy.
Yeah, like, how up in arms were we about Andrew Tate for like 2 whole weeks? Everybody was talking about this bald-headed man who likes, I don't know, boxing and what else? And boxing, hates vaping, and thinks women are property. Okay, we get it. It's just one guy on the internet who happens to like run his mouth, and sometimes he says right things and other times he says ridiculous stuff. But everybody was up in arms about that. It was the headline of every single article he was on. Tucker Carlson, like, everybody was talking about this man nonstop. And now you have a woman being beaten by police for not wearing her hijab properly. And everybody's like, anyways.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that sucks. This is horrible. What's the next story? It's like,
and
get some perspective.
It's like, we can't talk about everything all the time. There's 1,000 stories all the time. If you're constantly searching for somebody who's more oppressed than the other person, guess what? You'll find the one person in the world, and that'd be all we talk about for the rest of our lives. But sometimes, you know, there's just a little bit of levity that needs to be brought to these situations, and I feel like it is completely lost on us. It reminds me a lot of Malala Yousafzai. And that story was huge. You know, you heard about this young girl who was trying to get an education and ended up being shot straight in the face by people who were doing so in protest of her being able to seek out an education. And that was a turning point, if not for her culture, American culture, in, you know, taking this young girl in, and she now resides in the United States, I think, to this day, and learning about what feminism really looks like. And this could be another one of those moments where I think people can just look at this and go, you know what? That is what feminism looks like. It looks like women in the streets blocking each other from being beaten by batons and because they're not wearing their hijabs correctly. It looks like women having to go and just cut their hair for the sake of not being terrorized by police officers. It looks like women burning their religious garb in the streets because they've been forced and subjugated by the men surrounding them. And you know, you hope the movement shifts a little bit, and that's really all I hope for in talking about this and having this conversation. But I don't know. You know, you never know, because we always, next week we'll have another struggle. Adam Levine will have another mistress or something like that and want to name his baby after it. And then
I know, like, let's keep some perspective here, people. I mean, we know a woman was beaten to death for not wearing her hijab properly. But the real victims we need to worry about are the people who consensually sexted Adam Levine and now kind of regret it.
Dude, and it's crazy. We can go on a tangent and talk about this for just a second, because I feel like everybody's talking about this Adam Levine thing. For those of you who don't know, Adam Levine is the lead singer of Maroon 5. He is dating or married to a Victoria's Secret supermodel. Bahati is her name. She's now pregnant. And he had an affair with this girl named Sumner, who was just an Instagram model or something like that. And they had not been talking for quite some time, it seems. Bahati becomes pregnant, and Adam Levine messages his mistress to say, "Hey, my wife's pregnant. I would love to name the baby Sumner, which is her name. You okay with that?" Which, first of all, how stupid do you have to be as a man?
Don't look at me.
I'm looking. I'm like, I have no
Taylor,
other man
explain
to look
this
at.
To me.
I have no other man it's to look at other than Taylor. How stupid do you have to be as a man to message your mistress and ask her to name your child after her?
Yeah, while you're still married.
While you are still married. How weird. But anyways, he messages her this. She exposes him on the internet with this whole lie. She goes, oh, the tabloids were going to pick up the story because my friend was going to sell the story to them, which I think is a lie. We don't know. I think it's a lie. So she's like, I'm going to expose it first. And she shows screenshots. And if you go and look at the screenshots, it's her reaching out to him time and time and time again, and him giving her one word responses time and time and time again. So clearly she's a pursuer in this. And then she goes and claims, well, I'm the victim in this. He manipulated me. And how did he manipulate her? Because she was new to Los Angeles, was her excuse. I was new to Los Angeles. I didn't understand how celebrity worked. I didn't understand, you know, the true situation I was in, having an affair with a married man. And now here we are, and let's all yell at Adam and go tisk, tisk, tisk to the man who did it, and we should. But not in absolving her of what she did, which is insert herself into a marriage and then claim to be the victim, which, hot take, I think is a byproduct of the Me Too movement. Me Too movement has told women, you've gotten into any sort of relationship with a man that you did not like or you regret, he manipulated it. He created the situation for you. It's an Amber Heard all over again. And now you have all these other women who are watching this clout chaser, Sumner, who's called out Adam Levine, and they're like, oh, I have DMs with Adam Levine too. He must have manipulated me into typing on my phone and messaging him back.
Yeah, the pylon is where you just lose me. It's like, okay, you know, this guy behaved in a way that, it's like, first of all, he's a famous celebrity who is has no record of, you know, being this paragon of moral virtue. And so your expectation should be pretty low in general for celebrities. I think most of us are. Yeah. And so to pretend like you're also a victim in this, when you're right, it's, we know how this stuff works. You know, you slide in the DMs, you try to get their attention, and then of course you finally get it, and it's so validating, and you're like, wow, I got this famous person to give me attention, and that's your reward. You got it. That's right. The trade that you made. So you don't get to go out, well, now that everyone, he's made a mistake and it's being a scandal, and I have DM receipts of him complimenting me, so now I'm gonna air those out to the world just to pile on and claim a little bit extra victimhood currency. It's like, I hate all of this.
Yeah, I just cannot stop making the comparison to 22-year-old girl getting killed for wearing her hijab wrong, to here in the United States, Kim Kardashian and her mother literally plotting together to create a sex tape that goes out on the internet and subsequently makes her famous. These are the two different types of realities you're dealing with for women in the United States. Not covering up getting killed and taking all your clothes off to get famous. That's what you're dealing with. Exposing an affair that you have with a man to get famous. Becoming an OnlyFans model and making millions and millions of dollars and then encouraging other women to do so on the internet, which is the subject of many a podcast today that I see all over social media. Telling people that this is liberation. Telling women that not shaving is liberation. Telling women that not eating healthy is actually, in fact, being healthy. And that health happens at any size. That's a feminist movement here. Ecofeminism, where your femininity is somehow attached to the environment and climate change. That's a feminist movement. The intersectionality between being female and being black and black women's equal pay day, which is a gap that doesn't exist. That's feminism here in the United States. And how anybody can look at these two things, any of those situations, compare them to each other and go, looks the same to me. Blows my mind.
Yeah, and the comparison is really between people who lack freedom and people who don't know what to do with freedom or use their freedom to do stupid, unwise things or try to believe in bad ideas that promise them meaning and significance but end up just making them look foolish whenever the reality sets in and you get to see the contrast of a story like this compared to what modern women are doing with their so-called emancipation from the patriarchy and the sexual revolution and all this stuff. It's like, are y'all really happier? Are you really stewarding the freedom that you've inherited well? Is this what it was for? So we could manufacture sex tapes and get famous and get guys to pay you on OnlyFans? Is that really what the freedom that from the patriarchy, from oppression is all about, and what this is the pinnacle crowning progressive achievement of everything that we've faced and everything we fought for so we could do this?
Right.
It's like, come on.
And they're going to find that it's not, because I don't like a prediction, but we're going to find out that women are just unhappy. Yeah. In the reality that we're living in right now, they're unfulfilled. They are unhappy. They're unsuccessful, even though they've probably made lots of money selling their bodies or slaving away to a corporation. But they're going to be unhappy at the end of the day because they fell for a lie that was never something that they should have been subjected to. There's this idea that with modern day feminism, particularly in Western civilization, that, you know, women should be able to do everything that men do. And I understand, in theory, that sounds so beautiful. Oh my gosh, equality. And to that I say, who told you that I wanted to do what men have to do? I never, never told you that I want to do what men have to do. I never told you that I wanted to work my entire life. I never told you that I wanted to slave away to my career and set aside having children to do that. I never told you that I wanted to be the one at the door when somebody's trying to rob me and have to protect myself. I never told you I wanted to be a policeman, a construction worker, somebody working on an oil rig. I never stated that I did not want to be a nurturing, motherly figure with really not a care in the world other than taking care of my own family while a man worries about all the hard stuff. Whoever signed women up for that list, you're fired. And I'm done with you, because I even as a leftist, and this is how I know this was a strong feeling for me, even as a leftist, I was like, oh, I want to be a mom. I really would just want to be a yeah. stay-at-home mom. That has always been something that for some reason I have been in tune with in my body, my mind, my heart, and my soul. And for the woman who just created this makeshift subpar manhood for women and sold it to us, shame on you, because I don't want it.
Yeah, freedom should mean you're free to do what you want to do, what you will fulfill you. It shouldn't mean you are free to do what men do. That's like the victory. You've already won the victory when you don't have things holding you back. And by the way, I'm not saying that we need to go back to a culture where we have these extremely rigid gender roles and these ideas right. that you're not allowed to do this because you're a woman. No one's advocating for that.
No.
We're just saying the reality exists that there are certain innate characteristics in your nature as man and as women that lend themselves to that these gender roles kind of shape themselves around. And it's okay to acknowledge those, to lean into them. You don't have to feel ashamed if you yep. want to do something that's consistent with your gender role. If you want to do something that doesn't traditionally match your gender role, go for it. You know, like no one is holding you back, literally, in, right. in our culture from doing that. And even if someone doesn't like that, oh, screw them. That's on them. Like you do you. Mm-hmm. But this idea that in order to be a fulfilled woman, you have to be a man and do what men have traditionally done, or follow the traditional gender role of a man, but do it as a woman, is just, it's silly, and it's not going to lead to flourishing. And yet that's why we keep seeing these horrible narratives in Hollywood of like the She-Hulk and Galadriel and the new Lord of the Rings. It's like the laziest thing, where you do the Atomic Blonde thing and take like a traditionally masculine Ooh. Character arc, stick a woman in it, and show that they're suddenly this badass that shows no weakness and has no flaws and is the only right person who knows what's going on, and everyone else is the dumb idiots who needs to catch up to them. And it's just like, that doesn't resonate with anybody except activists. And we're just in a sorry place in our culture right now, where we think we're being progressive by making women into subpar men.
Yep.
And then in the midst of that, you could just fold in. It's almost like the irony of allowing men to dominate women's sports through all this stuff, and that's somehow okay.
It's just, isn't
there's
it
so
ironic?
Many twisted pretzel knot logic.
It's like rain on your wedding day. Even yeah. though, okay, I have a qualm with that song, because the lyrics are not ironic. But anyways,
I don't know this song.
You've never heard "Ironic" by Alanis Morissette?
No.
Okay, anyways, we won't even worry about that. But you point out something really important, is that like the people who are going to call this out, especially like the progressives who are so like pro trans people in sports or men being able to go in women's spaces and all this stuff, you are quite literally advocating for patriarchy in the United States and then advocating that it be torn down in Iran, which with this story in particular, again, I'll reiterate, 22-year-old girl killed by the morality police in Iran. Who's trying to create morality police in the United States? It's not me. It's not Taylor. I don't think it's anybody watching this show, but there is a distinct set of people who are advocating for exactly that, a morality police that tell you exactly what to think, what to feel, and if you go against it, they want you to be fined, they want you to be arrested, they want you to be canceled, they want you to have your livelihood taken away from you. How is that any different? It's not. So how do you hold those two beliefs in your head at the same time? Maybe it's because you don't understand truly what it is that you're saying when you're advocating for things like cancel culture or people being fired, or in certain countries right now, particularly in Europe, people being arrested for things like hate speech, as we're seeing in UK and in Germany. That is a morality police. So it's not really any different from things that are happening in the Middle East, although that is a much more extreme example. It's quite literally what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Anyways, I should get into super chats, because we're about to close out for today's show.
Let's do it.
Because Dave Rubin is coming, and we're going to film some videos with him. I know you guys know and love him, so he'll be on the show. I forgot to read super chats on Monday, so we're going to go ahead and start with that. Let's get into this. Okay. C2 to J from Monday said, let's normalize cisphobic since they live to call us all. Oh, since they live to call us all the other ones, shaking my head. Yeah, honestly, at this point, maybe we have to start playing the language games, even though I hate the phobic thing. Phobic implies that I'm scared. Nobody's scared. Like, we're not scared of trans people. We're not scared of I don't know. What are the other ones? Islamophobia.
Homophobia.
We're not scared. We're just coming out with criticisms towards the ideology. Next one from Marcus Carter. Thank you for your super chat. You should consider running for office. You don't want to see me run for office. A self-governed democracy requires us to take on the roles of leadership for ourselves. And in our absence, the void will always be filled with the most corrupt. You know, a lot of people say we should all consider running for office and go for it. And you know what? To the people who are ready to do that, and absolutely, you guys go for it. Am I by any means ready to do that? No. No. I don't think I'm ready to just see the corruption. That'll be the true black pill. It's the day that I run for office and see what's actually going on behind the scenes and just realize how big the monster actually is.
So, AMLA 2024 stickers coming soon to our merch store.
I will literally be 24 in 2024, so you're not seeing me on the presidential ticket. Falcon Blizak says, you could always remove the tattoo, and he's referring to my black power fist. You know what? It's staying for now. I think my boyfriend would also like to see me get this removed or covered up, as he stated on many occasions. The other tattoos are good, but not this one. You know, I have pondered it, but not yet. Not yet.
I like it. It's like a reminder of, you know, where you come from.
Yeah, I'm like, how often do I need to be reminded, though?
I mean, you do whatever you want with your body, your choice. But
my body, my choice, baby. This next one's from Randy K. Always right on the money. Appreciate what you do. Thank you so much, Randy. We appreciate your super chat and we appreciate you watching the show. Now, from today's super chats, what have we got? Some scrolling.
I got one. You got one? This is Sup My Dude says, drives me crazy to see leftists say we care about this too regarding this stuff and yet still focus mainly on crap like underrepresentation in movies.
Yep. Which we've talked about that. Everybody's like, black people are underrepresented in movies. And now they make up like 40% of movies. And you get like, I don't know. What's something that white people mainly buy?
I was like, casseroles. Cracker Barrel. White New Balance sneakers.
Right. White New Balance sneakers. Cracker Barrel. any sort of grilling equipment. now you watch commercials for those products. And it's like, two black gay dads who are like buying the product or whatever, and it's like, come on, okay, I get it, you want to have representation, but can we at least be realistic? Like, yeah. I know there's a 50% chance there's a white middle-aged man named Bob buying that product and instead you've casted Tariq.
You're so, right. It's not, you know, for all realistic. This idea of representation, if the representation doesn't represent reality, like, what are we doing here? It's forced social engineering. Anyway.
It really is. Like, don't force it. Just do what's natural. And especially if it's natural for your business. Like, we all have consumers. Like, we have a set of consumers that we are trying to speak to. It doesn't really make sense to represent somebody who's not necessarily part of your consumer base and never will be.
Yeah, Tariq is selling the latest Jimmy Buffett album compilation. Get your cheeseburger in paradise.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's good. That is good stuff. You mad? Be happy, says vote right, people. I can interpret that, and I'm not allowed to tell you guys how to vote or who to vote for, but I will let that message stay with you, however you interpret it. C2 to J says today, the, quote, slut walk, end quote, was my last straw for any hope for modern women. Maybe the worst thing to happen thus far for this generation. We were actually talking about this, Taylor and I, at lunch today. Like, what is the worst thing that women are facing today? And what is the worst thing that men are facing? And my immediate reaction was what I said earlier. It was like, who the hell told me I needed to be a man in this lifetime? And why am I now taking on that torch? And for men, I don't know. What did we say?
I mean, I think right now it's just this constant assault on masculinity, on traditional masculinity, and just having to apologize for being a man. You're automatically, your very existence is violence. You're just expected to shut up. And, you know, like in Hollywood, it's like the good guy is the ally simp man who steps aside and holds out his sword for Galadriel to step on so she can launch off of that and kill the threat. And it's like,
right.
Come on, it's just like it's an erasure and it's expectation to sit down and shut up, which is, by the way, why you're creating people like Andrew Tate, who everyone is like, oh, this guy doesn't care about that. And that resonates just on a base human level with man of like, no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to get up and just be me. And
the void must be filled.
Yeah.
Indeed. So. Yeah, I mean, you're just going to create more Andrew Tates. And that's not something, that's not a future I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, y'all didn't like Jordan Peterson. Apparently he was too much of a threat.
Right.
So then you just created Andrew
Tate.
Like,
the guy with the lobsters was too much.
Yeah.
And now you've got Andrew Tate. That was a horrible impression. Not my best.
It's like you didn't like the guy who's telling men to start a family and clean your room. So now you get the guy who's like, collect women like Pokemon.
Right,
you
know? Right. Like, now think of where we're going to jump from that.
Yeah.
Not good.
How low can you go?
How low can you go? How low can you go? And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's our show for today because that was the last Super Chat.
Y'all struggling on the Super Chats today. There was a lot of complaints that we didn't read them on Monday.
There was a lot of complaints. So it's really my fault. And it's why I'm now sitting on the struggle bus, which is why I'm just emulating sitting on a bus right now. yeah. Anyways, guys, I'm not at my best today.
Equal pay day, black women, Rosa Parks, where you at?
You know, with this performance, I don't deserve equal pay. I'll give a percentage of my pay to Taylor, the white man, for my performance on today's show. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching. I did want to let you know we do have an email list for you guys. If you'd like to sign up, you're going to get exclusive once a month video from me, which I think we're going to be filming tomorrow and sending out to you guys some point in the next couple weeks, your monthly video for this month. Plus, we're launching a Discord. You're going to get the Discord through the email as well. Hopefully a clothing line at one of these points. I'm reaching out to different businesses to sort of get this thing started, and none of them are reaching back out to me. Could it be that maybe my political views are not lending me to working with people in the creative space?
Black.
It's probably because I'm black. Yeah, I should just compile all the emails I've been sending and then accuse them all of racism and then see
and
if they
sexism.
Get back to me. And
right.
Sexism. Mm. Black equal pay day. Okay, what else do I need to let you guys know about? I think that's it. If you'd like to sign up for the email list, it's in the description down below. If you like our content, if you like what we're doing here, and if you like being a member and contributing to these live shows, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we post a new video for you guys. And every single time we go live, that is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. We'll have some guests on the show coming up. Larry Elder, Dave Rubin, some big names. So we'll be filming with them, getting that content out to you within the next week or so. And I hope you guys have a fantastic Thursday tomorrow. I'll see you live on Friday. And on Friday, what are we going to be talking about? Don't worry, darling, because we're going to see it tomorrow afternoon. This
can't
is
wait.
The... Yeah, can't wait. I actually, in a way, can't wait because I do like Florence Pugh and I think she's a fantastic actress. So I can't wait to see her performance in this film, which I hear is very strong. But as far as Olivia Wilde's hellish fever dream about Jordan Peterson coming out to play on the main screen, I don't know that I'm very excited about that. But we're going to let you know. We will give you a little review of it. Hopefully woke score it for you guys. And you'll see that on Friday. So thank you guys so much for watching. See you guys Friday. Peace.